Grace to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God is the Old Testament lesson appointed for the day, written in the 7th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession, out of all the peoples that are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love upon you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all people. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath which he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations, and requites it to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will requite him to his face. You shall therefore be careful to do the commandments and the statutes and the ordinances which I command you this day. These words of our God remind us who we are and how we are to be. You are a people holy to your God. Can you imagine what someone in a PR office or a seminary recruitment department could do with that slogan? You can almost see the brochure, the power standing up, "A people holy unto the Lord." That's the way so many of your relatives look on you. Why is it always on? Oh, you're going to the seminary. How nice. Or maybe some of your college friends even thought it a good idea to give you a last fling, a kind of ecclesiastical bachelor party. Because after all, you are now going to become someone holy unto the Lord your God. Well, if we think that holiness unto the Lord our God is something that infuses in us and can be drawn out by such sloganeering, we are of all men most to be pitied. For not all the Gothic splendor in the world can hide the fact that you and I are not holy unto the Lord our God. How out of God he sees the Jew, the wild goat. And indeed, the more you study the Old Testament, the more you almost, pardon from a human experience, ready to think that God must have made a colossal blunder. For at every turn of the way, the children of Israel were not the kind of people one would expect. But you see, that's not the way it is with God. He does not choose because there is good in us, because we have some potential for him. But he chooses because of his love. Moses reminded the children of Israel, who always seemed to need another reminder, that it was not because they were greatest that the Lord chose them, but because they were fewest among the nations that were on the face of the earth. And it was because of his love that he chose them to be a people of his own possession, that he redeemed them from the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage in the destruction of Pharaoh and his army. And so it is with us. We are holy unto the Lord, not because we have some inherent goodness, but because God is a God of grace and love and mercy. It is not that we first love him, but that he first loved us. and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins. At the very time when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the unfathomable and almost unbelievable extent of the grace of God, that although we deserve nothing but condemnation, he gives an offer of forgiveness and life and eternity in the death and resurrection of his Son. And through his work, we are holy to the Lord our God, because in holy baptism we participated in his death and in his resurrection. God pronounced a new word on us who were his rebellious people, and he now calls us a holy nation, a chosen race, a people of his own possession. And in his grace, he continues to lavish his forgiving kindness and mercy even on us. He continues to call us his own and to separate us for his service, to make us a people holy unto the Lord. And because that is who we are, there is a way that we should be. Moses had to remind the children of Israel that because they were a people of God's possession, therefore they should be careful to do all the commandments and statutes and ordinances which he laid before them that day. In Jesus Christ we are free, but we are not free to be what we would be. We are free only to be what God would have us be. For you see, for the first time, we are now free from all those grand inhibitions to being God's people. Curse of the law and condemnation and a flesh that is wholly turned in on self. And God has taken out of us that heart of stone and has given us a heart of flesh so that it might beat and invigorate a life to be lived as those who are holy unto the Lord. For we who are the royal priesthood, the holy nation, the people of God's own possession, are to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the power for that does also not reside in us. It is not that God kind of starts our engine and then we run on our own vigor, but it is only as we utilize the means by which he creates and sustains faith, his word of promise and hope, his word of forgiveness in the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we fall back on our baptism and relish his word of comfort and consolation, and partake with frequency and joy of his flesh, body, and blood, that we have the power, the willingness, the eagerness, and the new spirit to be what we have called to be, people holy unto the Lord our God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.